Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Wellness Works with Centrea. Today we have a special treat for you. We have a clip of some of the conversation that was held at my second book signing last year on Cinco de Mayo. It was a very rainy day. It did clear up some, thankfully, so the guests didn't get too wet coming into Body and Soul Salon and Spa, where it was held on that occasion. And so now we're going to begin. And I hope you enjoy this very much. I hope it gets you to thinking about what your answers are to some of these questions that were asked, and how you can move forward better. I will tell you, it's been a process. The more I read my own book, the more I am able to peel back the layers and live life better. So, enjoy.
What you're thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
I think that don't bring you down, it just kind of draw you into another space.
Okay, and so what are those things for you? So that it's not so general and you're not pulling strong. What are those positive things for you that help you redirect your mind and or spirit so that everything can come together for you, so you can reset?
For me, reading, listening to music, quiet time.
Of
our incense a lot, like that's for me. Like, a lot of times, just quiet time, just focus.
What about you?
Pictures and colors.
Yeah.
Really, just like I'm looking at these pictures, they're going to bite at me. I take one of those pictures and just, my mind would just go into a deep imagination about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, pictures and colors, it helps with me.
Okay. And you?
What I do now, the first part is like, before even getting out to bed, it's like, all right, we're going to be productive today, and it's going to be positive.
There you go.
And then kind of trying to work out some parts of what I try to get accomplished within the day.
Mm-hmm.
I have a whole mantra. And then I started getting into journaling, which is a very interesting process because it's not like a diary thing, and I didn't know that in the beginning, and I'm only like a week or two in on it, but that's kind of how I work my stuff out for me in my head.
Okay. And you, sir?
I would say myself is trying to find something that I'll give you, something that brings back. Well, I know for myself, I think I'm trying to bring some of the respect, something good, positive, the eyes on, and something to try to match it and get a different viewpoint.
Okay. So you go outside yourself. You consider what you need in yourself, and then you go outside of yourself to make comparisons to see where, if you're meeting your mark, as they say, what your baseline is and then where you'd like to go. So you have a measurement there. Okay. That's good. So, with all this that we just talked about, that we say that we're doing, what is it do you think that's keeping us from actually progressing to where deep down inside, you know, you're being pulled to? Like that space that you know, like, okay, I'm here, I'm doing what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing, or I'm in the space that I need to be in, but why can't I get to the next level? Why can't I have that breakthrough? What are some of or have you considered, because I'm asking you what are, but have you considered what it is that may be keeping you from moving forward? And is that something that began as an external thing, or is it purely internal? And if it's internal, how do you address that? Or do you brush it off because it's internal? And then if it's external, do you jump at it or do you brush it off? Because some people, like y'all laugh, so that means the most of us here try to brush off our internal barometers there, just letting us know where things are. But some people have the same issue with external stuff. They can deal with their internal, they don't deal with the external, but you still have the same result, because at the end of the day, you have to deal with both to push through. So what techniques do you use when you meet those walls, those obstacles, those personal strongholds, and it's staring you right in your face? What is it that you immediately go to say, okay, I'm going to start knocking this wall down?
My external.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And I care for others.
Mm-hmm.
And when I care, I put my all into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know I need to care for me in order to care for them.
Right.
So it's like, okay, Rita, you done did this for everybody. Now it's time to do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it ain't nothing but taking a hot bubble bath. You know, or going for a walk in the park with my little dog. You know, something for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I try to balance it out.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've learned over this like year and change within entrepreneurship is it makes you see a lot of your shortcomings. So the internal thing is like, you might not see it in the first 3 months. You might not see those things in the first 6 months. Everything can go great for the first like 8 months. But at some point, it's going to be in your face. And the little thing I learned, one of the things, is like the first part is getting past the consistency factor of whatever it is, like, trying to either think positive, trying to like retrain how you do things action-wise, trying to retrain how you think, or just the little stuff like, okay, I'm going to get up at 7 o'clock this many days of the week. Like, for the longest, that was like a real big thing for me. Only because I used to have to be up at like 4:30, 5 o'clock. And then once I left dealing in that kind of work environment, and I could just be like, all right, well, 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right, and then, you know, be up for like the next 16 hours and not care because it's like, well, I'm not leaving the house, so whatever. It's been the internal struggle to recognize the shortcomings and then look at which things to approach that has. It's like either you go for the little thing that will make the stepping stone, or you go for the big thing that will have the biggest impact on you for the better. And it's trying to figure out which way to move on that. Because like the little thing of just getting up early, that's not really a big thing per se. But, okay, let me get up early and go work out for an hour and change. It's a big benefit. Like, I gotta tell you about the whole APFT thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it's like, it's trying to figure out which way to go. And for me, one of the things I'm really having to like be on myself about is getting the consistency part down. It's one thing to recognize it. It's another thing to, you know, get to the door. But if you don't walk through the door and then be consistent in how you're dealing with the situation, like, and it's not just like, oh, I did it for 2 weeks, yay, go me. No, it's like, no, it's like, You gotta keep going. that's what I'm noticing for what I'm dealing with right now. It's the consistency factor, and it's more of an internal. And then the other thing I've noticed for what I'm trying to do in regards to like eating different, thinking about things different, having like what my routine or what my process is for me to do the other creative things or whatever is when I'm outside of my like comfort of workspace, I'll say it that way. As in, I can be in New York and do X amount of the same work as far as writing goes or consulting somebody, but there's certain other things like, you know, working out in the morning where here I can go to any one of the armories or I can go on post and work out. New York doesn't work out the same way for me, so it like throws off my whole routine, and then I have to, now that I've gone up a couple of times, I'm having to readjust, like, well, how do I get the same results in a different environment, because I don't have control of the same things or access to the same resources. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that I've been trying to deal with as far as external stuff.
Okay.
So, sorry
for that. No. That's the whole thing. Like, I know people say, I thought a book sign was, and then I'm like, it can be whatever you want it to be.
Exactly.
And I want to have a conversation. That's my whole thing. That's the whole point. Even this book is set up to generate conversation within yourself or between you and someone else or between you and me. I mean, you can email me. It's whatever. The email is in the back of this book. Got questions? Whatever. But it's meant to generate a conversation. And it's structured like a novel. But it's not a novel. It's more of a journal. But it's chronological, so you can follow everything. So if you're reading it to read it like a novel, just know that it's not going to read like a novel. It's not a story. Okay. The next one, maybe. More that way. Just so it'll be easier for people to follow. We structure it more like a story. But, that's the whole point. So whatever comes to your mind that you feel like you need to share in this space, do it. We're doing the book. Okay. We're beginning that process, I should say, because you're not going to be coming. You may be. I'm not going to want to make that statement. But somebody, it may be that aha and it's done. I'm just speaking it out. But that's sometimes you need to say. Because sometimes you haven't even realized until you start to speak, and then you're like, oh. So, by all means, it's a safe space. What are your thoughts? Internal, external?
I would say a little of both.
Okay.
Internal would be that belief in myself and believing that I can do what I've written down as far as my goals are concerned. External would be the distractions.
I got you.
Thanks.
Have that for, like, can we get this, and this done, or I'd like to get this, and this done, and it's like not having that focus and consistency is like a big thing.
Exactly.
It's a big thing. A whole, you know, do something for 21 days and it becomes a habit. You know, but it don't take no time to break it.
Really. And what I'm finding is, I know they keep saying 21, but I really feel like it's 30 or more now, because we've heard the number so much. I feel like subconsciously people are pushing past intentionally without even realizing that's what they're doing. So it's like, is it really going to change in 21 days?
Right.
Nah, it's not going to change. Not to me. Because they've heard it so much, and that's what we do. We change the baseline. Once it has been established, even if it works before, we want to make sure it don't work. So it's not going to take 21 days. We're comfortable with 21.
Right.
Now, it's going to take 30 or more days to change that habit. Right. So, we're not even going to continue. I'm sorry.
Right.
I had
the internal would believe, like, that's a big thing for me, just believing that I can do it in that time, and to stop comparing myself to others. And you know, just know that my timeline, it will come when it's ready to do the thing.
Everyone.
Hi.
Hey, come on in.
Okay.
This is Miss Barbette. Yep. Come on in. You can have a seat wherever you like. Okay. This is Kwame. This is our husband Derek and Norita, and this is Steven. So Miss Barbette, we were talking about, at this point, we were talking about what is it that's keeping you from getting to the next place that you, and within yourself, know that there's something pressing on you that I need to do this next, or I need to be here, I need to change something.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it that's keeping you from doing that? And is it internal or external? That's your stronghold, that's your wall that you're dealing with stuff. Okay, Mr. Derek?
So I will say internally, as a, because we all have habits,
mm-hmm.
and we try to break habits, and sometimes we fall back to our old habits. And I think internally, that was some things that I've learned in my life because of the habits and conditions that we've trained. And when you, and externally, far as like, I would say maybe distractions, or I'll just say like maybe life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just maybe like people that you meet
mm-hmm.
that can actually help you
mm-hmm.
move forward, or actually can take you down. But then, you know, but you always have a reaction with those that you want to be around with. Positive, you always draw to them. You always research, you know what I'm saying, to bring you to a level where you need to be. You know what I'm saying? And I think the thing is that, I think the one thing, you know, I think because we try to not blame someone else, but we can, you know what I'm saying? And that in turn can really affect, you know, how we move, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But once you get beyond the blaming and start taking your own full responsibility, I think, yeah, I think that's the purge where you actually say we have to change our minds because it's hard sometimes. Because
mm-hmm.
of the, you know what I'm saying, because of the letdown and the hurts that we go through,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, but if, you know, but it's learning, you know, and some people can move on and some people can't, you know, but I think what I've learned is it's always, you're always constantly learning, and, you know, yeah, and it's a challenge, especially externally.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for you, it's the forces that are inflicted on you. That you have, that you find that you need to navigate differently.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it, based off what you said and what I think I'm hearing, it's about trust. So, I want to say this in a way that's not too, because even though we're sharing, I still don't want to pull more than what's decent for cover. So in the past, you trusted too quickly, too soon, be it professional or personal. And so now what you learn is when someone approaches you, instead of you taking them at their word, you immediately say, okay, no, and then we'll sit back and see. And so, and by doing that, sometimes you actually stop the progress that you're looking for. Correct? Okay. So, what strategy do you think you can use now, since you acknowledge that and you know that that's what it is, to be cautious, but don't process?
Ask questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, always ask questions, and because open dialogue, you know what I'm saying? Open, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Because that's how you get yourself free. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to have all that stuff bottled up in, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. And that is true. Now, I don't know, but I won't say, I'm let me rephrase that. I'm not a glutton for punishment. However, I have made a decision that regardless of what's happened in the past, I'm not going to put walls up. That's a little bit dangerous. And I acknowledge that. But at the same time, I don't want to live there. And to me, if I do that, that'll be me living there. Because the residue is there anyway to be dealt with. So it's not like it's not going to rear kids. But I don't want that to be where I'm approaching everything from. So that's why I just say, forget it. It's another day. It's going to be a new experience, and we'll see what happens. So now I'm just taking notes. I'm just taking inventory. So I know when to start separating myself and how to do it, because they're going to tell you how to do it.
Well,
so that there is no conflict, actually, unless you don't care and you want there to be a little bit of conflict. Because they'll show you how to do that, too, if you're paying attention.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, people tell you. Mm-hmm. They tell you everything. They just don't even know they're telling you sometimes. And it's just whether or not you're listening. Okay. So, Miss Barnett. Internal,
well,
external. What you think?
Well, really, I don't have a lot to say on it because I'm not thinking about anything mm-hmm. specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what I find in my life that what keeps me from moving to the next or going forward with something. It's just plain and simple. The fear that you can't do it. You mm. know, that and not being around what I call enough safe people.
Mm-hmm.
People who you can trust with inner stuff and that will lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm around too much negativity.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were just discussing negativity and
positive. So that's it for me. That's,
yeah,
you know,
so
that's
it's internal. It's your struggle is internal, is what you initially said, with the way you handle things, but the issue is external.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something you're inflicting on yourself. It's something that's being thrust upon you, and then you're making it something that's
mm-hmm.
internalized.
You know how they say, you know, I know we all heard the saying, you know, be around the folks that's doing what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm just in my life, I'm just not around that enough of those people.
So what do you think you can do to change that?
Mm. Well, I guess that's simple. Seek out
those type of people. Okay. Had you thought about that?
No, not really.
Okay. So, see, here we go.
So, I guess another issue could be, you know, being comfortable where you are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, that's not moving on, you know, just
mm-hmm.
too comfortable where you are.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we can get comfortable in any situation,
mm-hmm.
good, bad, indifferent,
mm-hmm.
you can become comfortable because you know, as they say, especially, we're going to bring politics in this whole moment. So it's the whole Trump-Pence thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do we want the devil we know or the devil we don't know anything about at all?
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we do get stuck in certain situations because we know what this one's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no clue what that is
mm-hmm.
and what that's harboring and what that intention is or motive is, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's not a bad thing.
Mm.
Because even though you don't know the unknown until mm-hmm. you actually see, And right. You know what I'm saying? And there's always the quiet one that might be better than the one that's worse.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know physically that, you know, we have some differences with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think Pence has some values that Donald Trump doesn't have.
Yeah.
And I think, you know what I'm saying? And I think he's just in a position because he's there because he wants to serve, you know, because
mm-hmm.
you don't hear much of him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, that's my opinion.
Right.
You know, it could be a good thing. You know, we never
right.
know.
It could be, but that's the whole thing. People would rather deal with what they know. We know he's loud. We know he's going to say something crazy. We already know. So we know how to deal with that.
Right.
We don't know how to deal with this because he's quiet. He's subdued. He sits in the back. He observes everything. Well, he's an observer. There's nothing else. Of course, that's somebody else. So we, and you don't know. Like, if you notice, he really hasn't been connected. All of those scandals, nobody said his name yet.
Mm-hmm.
You have not heard his name yet.
Not political?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the restaurant?
Straight back, slightly to the left. So, that's the other. I didn't broke both sides of my thing. Okay, so, but, so it's just that, like you said, there's that unknown. Are we going to take the time and the opportunity to step out and go seek out the people that we need so we can change our environment,
mm-hmm.
so we can grow? So why is that fear? And everybody has that fear. Everybody has that fear. It's just in different areas. So why is that? And what can we do to overcome it? What do we have to expel? And this is not a question you necessarily have to answer here. But just think about it. What is it that you need to expel out of your thought process or from your spirit, meaning what you put in your mind every day to shape and how you process information, or your spirit, the emotional attachments that have settled in over the years that either allow you to push forward or push back, or maybe it's your belief system. You know, are you at odds with it? Do you know that you're at odds with it? Is there something you need to settle between you and God? You know, where are you? What's holding you? That's what you really need to figure out. What's holding you so then you can actually begin the process of letting go? Because if you don't know what it is you need to let go, you're just spinning your wheels at that point. So that's what it is that we need to consider. Alison, did you hear what I said? I was saying that the first thing we need to do is establish what it is that's actually holding you back. Is it a mental thing, what you think all the time? Is it a spiritual thing? Is it something emotional? Is there an emotional stronghold, emotional attachment that you need to let go of that you haven't even recognized yet? Hey, how you doing? So that's what it is that you need to write down. Take the time to figure it out. Sift through it. It's not going to feel good. I'm going to tell you right now from experience. And if you did it once, you do it again. You get deeper. You go deeper. You go deeper. And every time you peel back a layer, it hurts a little bit more. But it's good. Okay? Yeah.
I'm touching on what you just said. I think it's more like a growth process.
Mm-hmm.
And peeling back the labels.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm going to send back on what Bobette said about being comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
We as human beings are afraid of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
We're afraid of the unknown, and we're afraid to step out of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So once we get the nerve or get the energy up to do so, we look for positive other things to venture into.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can see the forest without the trees.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at in my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, moving forward. Positivity.
Right.
Keep it moving.
Right. So, this is Arielle and her mom.
Hi, Arielle.
It's Rita, Barbette, Steven, Kwame, and Derek. And so we started around 4:13-ish. So we're just really into the conversation now. So we started and we asked, what is purge? What does it mean to purge? So what is that to you? Thank you. Y'all should have seen the faces. Hi. You can come on back.
While she's thinking.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you can
Hello.
Purge.
Then come on in and sit down. Have a seat. Excuse me.
Sometimes you can go through the process of purging when and it's not something that you specifically thought out, I'm going to do this to get to this point or whatever. Because I know one of my experiences is with a church that I had joined. Mm-hmm. I really like, you know, just one church that does, you know, in my whole life that I really liked
mm-hmm.
and thought the pastor was authentic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a pastor that was really into, well, he is, because
mm-hmm.
the church is still there and he's still there. And to the people, small church, my kind of church, you know, where you have a relationship with the people and the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he told me, I had not too long ago been a member of the church, and maybe a year or less,
mm-hmm.
you know, some months. And he emailed me and said, Barbet, I want you to, you know, he really pays attention to you and talk to you and what's going on. Well, this Sunday, I want you to get up and talk about, you know, and a lot of people used to get up and talk about.
Right. Those three words right
there. Want
me talking
in front of people. Right. You
don't
get up on the podium. And
mm-hmm.
he said, get up. I want you to get up and talk about, you know, what the Lord is doing in your life or whatever. And, okay, that fear instantly hit me. But I also know that for me, the best way to fight through fear is just to do it. So I said, okay, no problem, you know. And, you know, the nice person gave me enough time to prepare what I wanted to say, write it down and everything, because I'm not a freestyle talker. I can write it down and let me read to you what I have to say. And so I got up there and did it. And afterwards, it was like the applause that I got, all of the positive comments that I got afterwards, even, I think I was telling you this, one day I was laying on the chair, sitting on your table, and, you know, and even somebody said, can I have a copy of what you said? I want to share it with my wife. It was like, and so, and then when I got to the pastor, when the pastor got to me, he was like, exactly what I was looking for, and I just looked at him and said, you sure know how to grow a person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by other people lifting you up and growing you, you know, they will take you out of that comfort zone if you're willing to push. You have to do some work too. You have to push that fear aside, you know, and pray. And so I just, you know, I went into prayer and just started writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes you go through a purge when you just. It wasn't planned.
Right. And we do have those spontaneously, physically, sometimes also. So, this is Ania and Miss Tony, everyone. This is Barry, Kwame, Rita, Miss Barbette, Stephen, and you know Ariel and her mom, Miss Fisher. Okay. And we just took it back to the beginning because people had just come in and the book's name is Purge, so I was just asking, what is purge to you? What does purge mean to you? So, Ariel and Ms. Baker, about to give us their answers for that, and then we'll get back into where we were. Yeah.
So, I think purging is letting go the negativity that people bring into my life.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I moved here to Baltimore, I haven't really had any negative people I've interacted with.
No, that's awesome. Hey,
you
didn't
say something about us.
You came right into the right character. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
that is awesome. Purging
can be like opening yourself up to something.
Miss Baker.
Well, I never even really thought about the word purge.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where I'm at with that.
Okay.
Because I never like really thought about that.
Okay.
So I don't have to
talk about that. Okay. Hania. I don't believe you. You're a scholar. Anyway, Miss Tony.
I see purging two ways. Purging can be a releasing, but purging also could be a jumping into.
And explain.
I guess it depends on where you are in your life. You know, you can purge to release yourself from some negative stuff, or you can purge to jump into some positive stuff. You know, it depends on where you are.
Okay. So when you purge, the way that you're explaining, so when you purge to let go of the negative, then you're just setting yourself into a neutral space.
I wouldn't say neutral. For me, it's a cleansing for what new might come.
Right.
Right. So I guess I guess if you see a blank slate or cleansing as a neutral space. Then that's where you are.
Okay.
Or it can be opening. I mean, it's, again, depends on the person and what they might have been through and how they might want to look at it. Because my name is not Webster.
No.
I'm not sure, you know.
I'm not looking for an exact answer. I'm looking for your answer, but I just want, you know, to clarify everyone's answer so that everyone else can understand where your point of view, where you're coming from. Okay. So, because you said the one, and then you said the other. So, I'm just putting them together. So, if one is a purging to a new beginning or to a positive space, then the other would have to be having a different outcome. Even
if
though
I purge
it's not
to
negative.
Jump in,
right.
If
you
I purge
to
jump
in,
then I'm hoping that I'm jumping into something that's good
exactly.
And positive.
Right. Okay. So where we were when at the conversation that we were having was when you look at your purge, when you look at releasing what's been holding you back, do you find within yourself that it's you that is causing you to be in a negative space, or is it more external? Is it a combination of both? And then what strategy do you use to combat that?
Well, the
way
it
means.
Okay.
All right.
So,
okay.
My strategy was coming to Boston.
All right. So it was a physical move. Okay. So, but in that physical move, what had to happen internally? Like, where did your mind have to go for you to make your to take your body to where you need to be?
What did I have to? Mm-hmm.
What thought process did you have to go through?
Make a better situation for.
Okay. So you had to think of someone else in order to give you the push you needed to do what you need to do for yourself so that when you got your brother involved, you could be at a space you needed to be at. Yes. Okay. Very good. Okay. Next.
I was just sharing with I had Anita to Google purge, but she said she didn't know what it means, and one of the definitions was a laxative.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess sometimes you have to take in some things to remove something.
Right. And so where we were was we were talking about peeling back the layers. So the first time you go through your purge, it may be shallow, so it's easy. The outcome is expected and known because it's the first time. Even when you're talking about with a physical cleanse, you know what the side effects may or may not be depending on what you use to start that process. Okay, so the outcome is expected, there are no surprises. When you do it the second time, it's deeper, right? So now there's something different going on. There may be some discomfort. But it's a good discomfort, is what we were saying, right? Because you're still peeling back. You're getting to know who you really are. You're getting to see what it is that's been holding you back. You're getting to see where it is that people latch onto you to take advantage of what they need from you so that they can move forward, but give no consideration to what you need. Okay? So the bloodsuckers. The leeches, okay, if you will. The people that are poison in your life that cause you to have to be like an eagle, go lay in the sun, and let all the poison get drained out of your system. You know, just lay there, sweat it out, okay? I was reading something the other day also about the eagle. And this is like, to me, that's just where my mind is right now. To me, this is the top level of purging, or the deepest level of purging, where my mind can understand it at this point. It said that when the eagle gets in its 40s, or around 40 years old, it has a decision to make. It can die at 40, or in that 40s, or it can go through a process of rejuvenation, but this process to give them another 30 years of life. We have to make a decision. Now it's got to make a life or death decision, literally. Am I going to die? Am I going to do what needs to be done so I can live 30 more years? To live 30 more years, the eagle has to break its beak off, break its talons, let it grow back. I mean, that's painful already.
Mm-hmm.
And then pluck out all of the feathers that have grown, that have gotten old and stiff, so that it can fly right again.
So the eagle has to purge.
It has to purge. But that is an extreme.
Yeah.
Extreme. But again, the eagle has to decide, is it worth? Is the pain I'm about to go through worth 30 more years? So, is the purge that you're about to go through worth adding figuratively your 30 more years to your life? And then you'll have quality of life because you've removed everything that's been building up for that 40 years. You just removed it. You have a new beak. You have new talons. Your feathers are strong. Your body is strong because it has 40 years of flight. But you don't have the weight on it anymore. So that's the question. Okay? So this is a phase one. And that's why I say it's another book coming. So this is phase one. Phase two, I'm going to make you ask more questions. I'm going to make you ask more questions. Okay? And I hope that you welcome that. Because this is about healing. Okay? Everything that I do, and I had to realize, and I had to sit back, and I had to embrace it, is to bring forth healing. Not just in the people around me, but in myself also, so I can continue to do this. So every time I know something, I'm probably going to share it. Because I want you to know it too. That's how it works. Okay? 2-3 years ago now, 2018,
for more than 2 or 3 years ago. 2012 and 2013-ish. I was recommissioned by my godfather to step into my ministry completely. And at that time, I was still connected to my ex-husband. And so we went over because we were supposed to be starting fresh, right? And as my godfather was talking, the jealousy was just coming through. I don't know if they noticed it or not, but it immediately hit me. I was like, why are you jealous? I didn't say it, but I took note of it. And what my godfather said that triggered that jealousy was, you have your grandfather's gift, but God's going to give you a double portion. My grandfather was a healer.
What?
A healer. He's a pastor, but he was a healer. He had a healing ministry. And when he said a double portion, I'm like, what does that look like? Because I've literally seen that man, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, grow limbs out. Even things out. Get word on, okay, they have this condition, this is how you fix it. You just go do it. And they be healed. That was the one thing that he regretted with my grandmother. He never wrote anything down. So when she ended up with what I believe was some form of cervical cancer, because, you know, they didn't use the same terms, especially not around us because we were children. I think that caused him to get sicker because he was dealing with type 2 diabetes. But I think that's what started eating away at him because he couldn't remember how to help her because he never wrote it down. So some things, you got to write it down when you get it. Okay? I don't care if you remember stuff all the time. Maybe that one time. Okay? Now, who's to say it still wouldn't have happened that way? Okay? Because things happen the way they're going to happen. But knowing that I've seen what I've seen with my granddaddy, and you telling me I'm getting a double portion, what does that look like? Then that's a huge responsibility. And then he also told me, once that situation was over, and I was with my new husband, he was speaking to both of us, said, speak. Don't be afraid. When the Lord drops something in your spirit, have it. Don't worry about nothing else. Just saying, what's dropping in your spirit. And I'm like, oh, okay. I can do that. It's not a problem. But then I'm thinking about the awkward stuff. Or the awkward times, or things of that nature. You know what I mean? Immediately I go to, and then I just have more of a legal mindset. So it's like, well, what if I'm telling somebody something, yada, 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 and it, you know. So, but that's not my concern. My concern is to get them the message, because it's going to affect them. That's information that they need. Right then and there for whatever reason. So it's only my job to convey a message. Now the next thing is timing. Sometimes you get information. It's not necessarily time for you to tell that person, but it's time for observation so you can know when to tell them or what it is that you need to do. So we're talking about purging. We're talking about change. Okay? So, like with my ex-husband, time to take out trash. Trash is taken out.
You don't go and take the trash out and bring it back in.
So I'm like, I hear you. I'm good. You're not trash. I'm good. Trash is gone. Alright. So, but yeah. But that's when that jealousy came. Soon as he said that, and I'm like, wow. I'm no more forgiven than you are, and vice versa. My issue was, why do you think I shouldn't be forgiven and you should? Because that's what that was. I don't deserve what I'm being told. Why? Why were you? Why do you deserve everything that he's telling you, but not me? So, again, we're talking about leeches. People are there just to get what they need to get. And that's how leeches are. Okay. If it's not going to benefit them directly, they're not going to be happy for you. But they think it's not going to benefit them. But that's someone who didn't have the right mindset. Because if you're married, what one gets, the other automatically benefits from. So you don't have the right mindset to even be in this relationship. So, yeah. Okay. So, moving forward. Does anyone, you guys haven't read the book yet, right? Okay. I know. Are you, did you read the new version? Because she was one of the people that did read the original before I updated it. So,
I'm almost done.
Okay. Is there anything that you had a question about to this point that you would like for me to clarify? Okay. Okay. And Miss Barbette, how about you? Because I know Miss Barbette was my first person that purchased the book for me.
No, I really don't have a comment because, like I told you, I have to read it again, and I haven't had a chance to do that yet because I was reading it, not realizing it was a collection of thoughts. My mind frame was a novel. Mm-hmm. And so I was like reading it saying, what is she talking about? What's going on? And then I get to the back cover and it says a collection of, So I'm going to read it. I have to read it again. Mm-hmm. But I did enjoy reading about some of your experiences. I really did. Uh-huh.
And was that helpful to you to start looking at some things?
Well, it just actually confirmed what I already knew, that instances in your life are put there to move you on. You know, we all have a life to live, and we're living it, every day. And those experiences, take you to the next point.
All righty. So, if no one else has any questions, comments, or anything at this time, there are some light refreshments. I usually start with those, but because we started so late, I just wanted to go ahead and get started, just in case anyone has anything else to do. I didn't want to run past the time, if it was possible. So feel free to have some refreshments. If there's anything else you feel like we need to speak about that we haven't at this time, feel free. But let's continue the conversation. And my email is at the back of the book. If you have any comments or questions or anything like that to share with me, feel free to do that. Okay,
Thank you.
The only question I have, well, what we talked about, is finished on in my book. Yes, ma'am.
You know what I told you,
but
you forgot.
Yes. So, yes, we all want to purchase your book. You can. Yes, I do have the Square, so if you don't have cash, that's fine. I mean, it is $10.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening in on that brief clip of some of the questions that were asked that day and some of the guests that were there to answer and engage. A few more people did arrive after we thought we had closed out, and that's why I said this is just a clip. It didn't start at the very beginning, and it definitely was not the end. because we pretty much got started right back up after that, what we thought was the end of the formal discussion. And that was really great. It was very invigorating to have those additional people come in and for them to share their thoughts and for all of us have the opportunity to edify one another and to grow a little bit more on the 5th of May on last year in 2019. And so again, if you like to read, I am going to give a little plug here. If you are looking for something different to read, and as Ms. Barbette mentioned, yes, and I believe I mentioned at the beginning, and as you said, it is written actually on the inscription of the book, that it is a collection of thought, an organized collection of thoughts. So you want to read it that way. Each chapter is its own thought. It's not a necessary continuation of the last chapter. So it's just things that you can ponder and think about while getting to know me a little bit or a little bit better for those of you who have become familiar with me over the years. Thanks again for listening. It's been great. I look forward to meeting back up with everyone on the second Wednesday in June. And if need be, we'll pre-record and or catch up before or after that, depending on what's going on. We want to remain flexible in the time that we are in. That's another way to deal with changes and not become overwhelmed. I will tell you, this past week, transitions can sometimes be very difficult on individuals and families, and you get to see what areas you need additional work in. And this past week, going back to work, I got to really see an area that I need to work on strongly. It costs me my reaction to a situation is costing me financially because I did not handle it well. Again, just identified an area that I need to double down on and make sure that I'm always keeping my mind on the things that are good and of good report, so that when inflammatory situations occur, I am able to deflect, guess, and give the best answer to that situation at that time. Thank you guys again. I look forward again to seeing you guys or speaking with you all the second Wednesday in June. Have a great evening and good night.